All right, Life Point Church, how are we doing? Good, good, good. So thank you all so much for being here today. While I got Kyle up here, give it up for Kyle one more time. I don't know how he feels about that, but I appreciate Kyle more than he knows. It kind of came through clutch, as Daniel Henderson would say. At the last minute, Mike and Tessa had their baby. They had a beautiful baby boy on Friday named Iliad. So we praise God for that. Everyone is healthy and doing well. But in the process, Jared was out of town, and we didn't have anybody lead worship. So my good buddy Kyle stepped in, so we appreciate that. I've known Kyle since high school through a mutual friend we met, and I got a few stories about Kyle. He's probably got a few about me, so we'll just leave it at that. So I'm not going to tell any, because I know he's got something about me as well. So we thank Kyle for being here. We'll be in prayer. Kyle is the worship leader at Cornerstone Community Church, and they will be launching their new church plant out in the south end of Louisville and Valley Station in a couple weeks. So as a church family here, we'll be praying for them as they reach people in that community, and we're excited for them to see what God is going to do there. But today, we're going to be kicking off a new message series, a three-week message series called When God Doesn't Make Sense. And I know that that title might bring up, you know, raise some eyebrows or bring some concern maybe coming from here, but let's be honest. There are times in our lives where we sit back and we think, you know what, God, I just don't get it. This just doesn't make sense, especially with the state of our world today. I mean, every day when you flip on the news or you open up an app and read some articles, I mean, we're seeing mass shootings, right? We're seeing social and racial injustice, terrorism, extreme poverty. The opioid epidemic is running rampant, and it's leaving a wake of destruction. We have over 8,000 kids in out-of-home care in just the state of Kentucky, 8,000 children. I mean, we have human trafficking all over the place. I mean, we are living in a tough time. And sometimes when we look at that, it leads us to think, man, what's going on? Like, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Like, I don't get it. This just doesn't make sense to me. And I think if we're honest, we've all could say that we've either had that thought or had that made that comment or had some dialogue with someone, just like, it just doesn't make sense. Maybe it's in your own personal life, right? There's some things that are happening, or maybe some things that aren't happening, and you're left with that same question of, God, what's going on? I don't get it. I try. I'm doing everything that I think that you're leading me to do, yet I'm not getting the results that I'm looking for. The results that I expected, and we're left confused. It's when God doesn't make sense at times to us. And I want you to know that if you've ever found yourself thinking that or believing that, you're not alone. You're not alone in that. And so what I want to do for the next 3 weeks is I want us to look, and we're going to look at different situations and scenarios in the New Testament where it's pretty safe to say that some people drew some conclusions like, God, this, I don't get it. Doesn't make sense. And we're going to see how God worked these things out for the good. Next week in week two, we're going to talk about when God seems late, right? When we're waiting and waiting on something that we think should happen and it doesn't. Week three, we're going to talk about when God seems uncooperative, right? He's not following through with what we think he should do in the way we want it to happen. And he's not on our plan. But this week, in week one, kick this thing off, we're going to talk about when God seems distant. When God seems distant in our life. So let's kick this thing off, but let me ask you a question. I want you all to be really, really honest with me. And honest with yourself, most importantly. At some point in time, how many of you would say that you've prayed and you've sought God for something, and while you were praying or afterwards, you just honestly kind of takeaway was that you felt that maybe God wasn't listening. Or that maybe God wasn't there, or he was just, again, maybe he's there, he's just distant. Just that connection wasn't there like you had thought. How many of y'all have ever experienced that in your life? Right. A lot of us have. And if you've been in church for any length of time, or in community groups or at a Bible study or whatever, you run into those people that seem to always, like life is just always going perfect for them, and they are like the praise report king or queen, right? It's just always praise after praise after praise that's going on in their life, and which is a great thing. It's a beautiful thing, but if you fall into that trap of the comparison game, then you're like, well, why is everything going great for them and my life is spiraling out of control, right? And then you start to feel a certain type of way about that, and you get in your emotions, you get in your feelings, and you start to feel like God is distant, or you feel like God doesn't make sense. Or maybe it's with your friends, people that you know, and you look on at their lives, and man, everything is just clicking on all cylinders for them. I mean, they've got the good jobs that they love, their marriage is, I mean, just doing great, their financials are on point. I mean, they are thriving, and you're like, but when I look at their life, they're not even really serving God. They're just kind of going through the motions, or maybe they don't even know God at all, and here I am faithfully serving week in and week out and trying to give my life over to him, and yet I'm in this tough spot. Things aren't going the way I want them to go. Then we start to question. We begin to doubt. We begin to think that God, this just doesn't make sense. And then he seems distant. And I've experienced this in my own life, and I've seen this play out in many of my friends and other people's lives, and so what I want us to do is I want to look at what we're to do when God seems distant. Like, how do we operate through that? What are we to do? What are we to think when we feel this way, when this emotion rises up in us? And again, it's just we're in our feelings. I'm the king of that. And I know that I'm the king of that because my wife tells me that all the time. Get out of your feelings. You're in your feelings, right? But so if you find yourself in this position, what I want you to do is I want you to always remember this thought, and I want you to claim this truth in your life. So check this out. It's that just because God is silent doesn't mean God is absent. If you're going through that season where you feel like God is silent or in that situation, understand that he's not absent. He's still there. He's there with you every step of the way. Just because you may think that he's not listening doesn't mean he's not, because he's there and he hears you. He is with you. He promises never leave us or forsake us. He's got our back, and he's there with us. He's got you. Just because God may seem silent doesn't mean that he's absent. And to help us better understand this fact and this truth, I want us to spend some time looking at a story in the New Testament that's honestly one of the more difficult stories to talk about. It's a pretty heavy story, and it's the account of John the Baptist. And if you don't know much about John the Baptist, the first thing that I would want you to know is that he was related to Jesus. I mean, that's a pretty important thing, right? That's a pretty big deal. He was Jesus' cousin. So, I mean, that's pretty awesome, right? So he's the cousin of Jesus. Secondly, he wasn't your typical prophet, right? Which I kind of dig. I mean, he was known for wearing animal skins and eating locusts and wild honey, and he was just kind of just that raw dude. I mean, he was just out there, and he was known for saying what he thought. I mean, if it was the truth, he was going to just speak it. He wasn't worried about what anybody was thinking about him. He was on a mission. He was on focused on his goal, his calling in his life, and he didn't really care what anyone else thought about it. He was moving forward. I mean, he was the prophet, man, a prophet of all, my kind of prophet. I mean, he was the man's man out there. But it was that very attitude that kind of got him in a bit of trouble. Just speaking his mind and saying the truth and just throwing it out there. And it got him in trouble with King Herod. And here's what happened. So Herod was married, right? And then all of a sudden he began to take some interest in his brother's wife. And so what does Herod do? He divorces his wife and he takes his brother's wife. Talk about some family drama, right? Herod had some family drama going on. And John the Baptist was just like, yo, that's not okay. And he spoke the truth. He spoke the truth to King Herod regardless of what it meant. He said, it's not right for you to do this. It's not okay. And ultimately, to his new wife, who was his brother's wife, her name was Herodias, I mean, she felt a certain type of way about that. She didn't like that. And so she came after John the Baptist. She wanted him dead. So let's pick this up in Mark chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 17. We're going to read 17 through 19. So check it out. It says, For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So he's just kind of dropping the truth to him. He's just telling him flat out, this is not okay. So Herodias, she nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she wasn't able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. So what we got here is that Herodias, man, she, like I said, she wants to kill him. Like, she's cutthroat. She is serious. She's like, he's talking about our lives. He's sticking his nose in our business. I want him gone. Take him out. But Herod's like, you know what? He's a godly man. Kind of, he's serious. He's an honest man. He's a good man. So I'm cool with locking him up and putting him in prison, but I'm not going to kill him. And so that's kind of where that sits. So, but when you actually step back and kind of take this subjective look at what's going on, we see John the Baptist was honestly, I mean, he did nothing wrong, right? He did nothing wrong. He was just speaking the truth, living out his calling. I mean, he was there to prepare the way for the Lord. That was his mission, right? That's why he existed. That's what he was all about. When people would come to him and say, John, we want to follow you. He's like, no. Don't follow me. Follow Jesus. He pointed at everything. He said, man, I'm not even worthy to untie the guy's sandals. Like, Jesus is what it's all about. I'm pointing you to him. John was a good man. He was living for God. He was baptizing people in the Jordan. He even baptized Jesus, and he stood up for the truth. And in spite of all these incredible things that he was doing and being on mission, he found himself in prison. Found himself in prison with Herod's new wife wanting him dead. It's kind of some heavy stuff. And I don't know about you, but if I put myself into John's shoes here, I'm kind of struggling here. Like, you know, I'm out here living out my calling. I'm out here being faithful to Jesus. I'm living out that call, preparing the way. Yet I'm in prison now. This doesn't make sense. Doesn't add up. Right? Maybe. He's like, okay, well, Jesus is going to get me, right? He's going to take care of me. He's going to come bail me out. But then nothing. He's waiting. He's still in prison. And again, if I were John and I was waiting, I would really be kind of just wondering, like, this just doesn't make sense. I'm really struggling with this. Don't know where I'm at. Don't know what's going on. And I'm waiting on Jesus. I trust him, but I don't know. And while we like to sometimes think that our heroes from Scripture were these just, that they never doubted and that they were perfect and they had this, man, they were people, flawed humans, just like you and I. And while he was in there, man, he begins to doubt a little bit, begins to struggle, starting to wonder, man, is Jesus really who I think he is? Is he really who he claims to be? I don't know. And when we read Matthew chapter 11, we see this starting to play out a little bit. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? I mean, he's got all this time sitting in prison just to think, right? And he's just thinking, he's trying to figure this thing out. And he's just, I'm sure his mind is just racing with all kinds of things, because he has devoted his life to paving the way for the Lord. And now he's like, are you the one? Or should we be looking for somebody else? Because I feel like you're silent, stuck in this prison. Are you the one? And check out how Jesus replies. Jesus, well, first he didn't reply. He didn't say, of course, John, I'm the one. And I know I've been busy, I've been out here doing miracles and this and that, but I'll be there to get you here soon. He didn't say that. He didn't even say, yes, John, I'm the one. I am the Messiah. He didn't say that. Verse 4 through 6, Jesus says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who doesn't stumble on account of me. And man, if I'm John, I'm sitting here thinking like, so you're telling me that you're healing all these people, you're doing all these miraculous, incredible things,
I'm in prison. It's a struggle, right? But he says, blessed is anyone who doesn't fall or stumble on account of me. Blessed are they. So he's kind of in this situation. And so as the story plays out, ultimately, it doesn't have a great ending. That's why I say this is kind of one of those heavy stories and situations in Scripture in the New Testament. And what we see is that Jesus, man, he's out there preaching. I mean, he's pushing the message forward, teaching, loving other people, doing miracles. He's out there living the gospel. He's taking the gospel out there. He's modeling this for us. He's living out his call. And again, John is in prison. And so one day, King Herod, he threw his party it was his birthday, and he threw this party, and he threw it for the high officials, the military commanders, and some of the leading men of Galilee. So this is big banquet, right? This big party. And during that party, Herodias' daughter performed some dance. And I don't know what kind of dance it was. Don't want to know what kind of dance it was. But she performed a dance. And Herod and all the people there loved it, right? They loved it. And so what Herod does is he says, you know what? This was so good. I'm going to make an oath. And you can ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. This is what he tells this girl. Anything that you want, whatever you ask, I'll give it to you up to half of my kingdom. I mean, this is Herodias' daughter, so I'm assuming she's probably a teenager or around that age. And so he's probably thinking, man, she's going to want some money or maybe a position of power or something like that, right? It's just something material. So that's what she's going to ask for. I got it. I'll give it, you know, and it'll be a great celebration. But the story takes a quick and unexpected and rather violent turn. See, she goes to her mom and says, hey, Herodias, what should I ask for? And her being so full of hate towards John the Baptist and knowing that King Herod was not going to touch him, other than lock him up, but was not going to kill him, she says, go back and ask for the head of John the Baptist. And that's exactly what she does. She goes back to King Herod and says, here's what I want. I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And while I wish I could tell you that while the executioner was headed there to the prison cell and that God performed this miracle and broke John free, and then he was out and he was on the run, and then he got back out there and was doing all these incredible things, and him and Jesus were, you know, just on mission, getting it, doing just incredible works, that's not what happened. Mark chapter 6, verse 26 says, the king was greatly distressed, and because of his oath, and the dinner guest, he did not want to refuse her. Man, he didn't want to kill John. He'd already said, he's a godly man, and I don't want to do that. I'm fine with him being in prison, but that's not what it is. So, but he was kind of stuck because he's like, I made this oath. I have all these people here, and I said that, and I spouted off that I was going to give her whatever. So, verse 27, so he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl. She gave it to her mother. This is intense. This is terrible. Not the ending that I would expect or want to see for John. Definitely not what John was probably expecting. I mean, he was out there leading the way. And through his chain of events of him telling the truth, speaking the truth, to this point, it doesn't make sense. See, John the Baptist was faithful to God, fulfilling his calling, stating things again like, man, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. This isn't about me, this is about Jesus. Man, I come to prepare the way for the Lord. Not about me, but about him. Telling people to repent of your sins and turn to Jesus. He was faithful, yet he was left in a prison, eventually beheaded. And on the surface, it doesn't make sense at all. At first read, it's intense. Doesn't make sense. It definitely doesn't fit our little American, you know, view of Christianity that, you know, you give your life to Christ and then everything is great and then you get the promotion and the new car and, you know, it's rainbows and sunshine and everything's great. That we like to portray at times. Man, this didn't feel good.
This doesn't feel good to read. It's confusing a little bit. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But when you step back from this and get out of the emotions a little bit of it, what we ultimately see is that John's desire, I mean, his goal, his calling, his mission was fulfilled. Right? And most importantly, what we see is that God's purpose was fulfilled. He prepared the way for the King of Kings, for the Lord of Lords, for the Messiah, the one who takes away the sin of the world. He prepared the way. His purpose was fulfilled. What God purposed to come to pass happened. Just not as John had planned, right? And man, that's such a tough lesson to receive at times. See, we map things out. We have a plan and a contingency plan and then a contingency plan to the contingency plan, right? We like to plan everything out. Man, but it's about God's purpose and his plan, because his ways are bigger than ours. He's more wise than us than we'll ever could even imagine being. Proverbs 19:21 tells us this. It says, many are the plans in a person's heart. What I want, the way I think it should happen. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. It's not about our plans. It's about his purpose and his plan. That's why we are here. See, we can map out this smooth, cool plan, that everything, this is the way I want it to be. It's going to do this, it's going to do this, and do this, and everything's going to be great. And in just that moment, God will say, nope. That might be your plan. Here's my purpose. I mean, I've seen this played out in my own life so many times. And when I step back, the sequence of event that has taken place from the time I was 16 years old till now is just incredible. And not how I had laid it out and planned. I mean, I think all the way back to high school. And man, everything was sports. Everything for me was about sports. Like many high school, middle school students or whatever, my plan was to go to college to play sports and then see what happened from there. Hopefully live the dream, right? Be the athlete that makes all the money. And, you know, for me, it was then have, you know, a platform to tell people about Christ. And it was going to be a win-win, right? I was going to make tons of money and play sports and be able to tell people about Christ. It doesn't get any better than that, right? Then I found myself on the side of a football field with a mangled leg. Pretty bad. Not good. Not just a little sprained knee here or there. Almost lost my leg. And man, I can't remember, why? Why, God? Why would you let this happen? And while that seems meaningless to an extent to me now, at 35 years old, like, okay, you had a sports injury, big whoop. But in the moment, that was everything to me. But see, that I still truly believe that that was my plans versus God's purpose. And from that point, took a trajectory in my life in a different direction. No longer was I focused on this. It's hard to get into any small college even if you don't have any stats your senior year. Difficult, right? So then that led me to Bible college. Then honestly, some tough experiences in Bible college led me to not going into full-time ministry straight out of college, but working at Brooklawn, which is now Youspiritus, where I still work as a director. And during that time there, a friend of mine had a friend of his call me for a job. And we got to talking, didn't know this guy at all, and we're talking over the phone. And he says, well, what kind of degree do I have to work there? What degree do you have? And I said, well, I have a bachelor's in biblical studies, and I majored in youth ministry. He's like, oh, yeah? Well, my church is looking for a youth pastor. Oh, really? Where's that at? Life Point Church. Oh, really? A few weeks later, I go, me and Jen go and visit Life Point Church. A month and a half after that, we're the youth pastors. God's laying out his plan and his purpose for my life.
which has ultimately led to where I am today and what he's doing. And it's incredible. And it would not have been my plan. It was painful at times. It was difficult, confusing. God, where are you? Why is this happening? I don't get it. Yet I can trace back what was considered at the time one of the worst possible things that could have happened. I could trace it all the way back to being the pivotal point, that turning point that's led me to where God has me today. And I wouldn't change a thing. Wouldn't change a thing. Because it's his purpose, not our plan. It's about his purpose. You see, what I've come to know and understand through God's word and through my own personal experiences, that because God is always, always faithful and always working things out for the good, you don't have to fully understand the plan in order to trust God's purpose. And that's a tough lesson to learn. That's a tough concept to grasp. It's one that I know in my head that's hard to actually embrace in my heart at times. But he's so faithful and he's so good. And we have to understand that you don't have to fully understand the plan in order to trust his purpose. You don't even have to like the plan in order to trust his purpose. Again, what I experienced in high school at the time seemed like a major thing, but in reality, it was fairly minor. But man, some of you all this morning, you're going through some major, major challenges. Life's throwing some things at you, and it's very personal. It's very urgent. It's very difficult. And you're going through it. Sometimes it leads you to question, why, God? I don't get it. Man, some of you, you've been praying for healing for somebody that you love. You've been praying, but they're not getting any better. You feel like maybe God is being silent or he's being distant. Maybe you're mourning the loss of a loved one that you prayed for and you knew that God was going to heal, and he didn't. And it hurts. It's confusing. You don't know why. Maybe you have some serious addiction that you're wrestling with and you've been battling with over and over and over again, and you've been praying to be freed from it, but you still struggle. You just don't know why God won't just remove that from your life. But whatever the situation may be, you're just kind of in that tough spot, and God seems distant. Doesn't make sense. It's confusing. It's not your plan and you don't get it. It's frustrating. But again, you don't have to fully understand the plan in order to trust God's purpose, because he's faithful. He's good. He will always be good. He can't be anything other than good. That's who he is. It's his very nature. But again, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And that's why our faith will no longer be in our plans, but our faith will be in his purpose. And that changes everything. It changes your perspective. It changes the way you look at life. And when the curveballs come, because they're going to come. Those tough times are going to come. They're going to come. But when we're faithful and we're placing our faith in God's purpose, we can weather it and we can move through it and we can push past it. Trusting, ultimately, his purpose, because his purpose always prevails. And like I said in the beginning, we're not alone in this. This isn't just us that experience and go through this. This wasn't even just John the Baptist that did this. But when we read scripture, we see that Jesus experienced almost the exact same thing. And man, he modeled beautifully how we're to handle this. You see, while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was arrested and crucified, he knew what was coming. He knew the cross was before him, and he fell on his face and he cried out to God. He said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Take this cup of suffering away from me. Please, if there's any other way than this, God, may you grant that. But then he said these words, yet not my will, but yours be done. Not my plan, but your purpose. Most of you know how the story concludes. He was arrested, stripped, beaten, mocked, spit on, forced to carry his own execution device to the place where he was going to be executed, nailed to that cross, and hung there. For you, for me. And while he hung there, before he took his last breath, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? I don't want to speak into God's words, but in the words of Jesus, but why are you silent? Why are you distant? Why don't you do something? Why have you forsaken me? But just because God is silent doesn't mean he's absent. And he was there. And some 2,000 years later, everything that our faith hinges on centers around a moment when God seemed silent, distant. You see, because God loved us enough to let his son suffer so that Jesus' purpose could be fulfilled. So that you and I could be made right before the Father. It wouldn't have been our plan, but his ways are better than us. His ways are better than ours. He's so much wiser than us. And his purpose will be fulfilled. Understand that there will be times in your life where you cry out to God, praying for someone to be healed or for some needed life change to happen in your life or someone else's that you love, or for praying for a miracle. And there's going to be times when God will hear that prayer and grant that. And you'll see incredible transformation happen, just miraculous healing. You'll see those things, and God's goodness will be on full display, and you'll celebrate, and you'll praise him, and it'll be incredible. You will experience that. But there will also be those times when your plans and your prayers, man, they don't go exactly as you think they should. It's going to happen as well. But when that happens, remember, many are the plans of a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And that's why we don't put our faith in our own plans, but we put our faith in God's purpose. Because he's good. He's righteous. He's just. And when you're in the center of his will and his purpose for your life, it's the best place for you to ever be. It may not feel like it at times. It may not feel good, but when you're in his purpose, you're good. And he's there with you because he loves you. He'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. So trust in his purpose. Trust your good God this morning. Let's pray. God, we thank you. God, first off, Lord, we thank you for your son. God, we thank you that your ways are just far beyond ours. That you love us, that you guide us, that you give us strength, that you made a way for us to know you, to be made right with you, God. We're so thankful for that. God, thank you. As we continue in prayer this morning, maybe you're here and you truly just, you don't know Christ. You've been coming to LifePoint Church, or you've been popping in and out of church for a while, different places, or just trying to understand God a little better. Maybe you've kept God at arm's reach because sometimes, man, it just doesn't, he doesn't make sense to you. You see what's going on in the world, and you see the heartache and the trials, and that just is confusing to you. So you're constantly questioning God. If that's you this morning, man, understand that he loves you. But though sometimes his ways are not ours and his plans aren't our plans, his purpose is holy and it's perfect. And he loves you. He loves you so much that he made a way for you again to be made right before God. for your sins, your flaws, your failures to be made right, to be forgiven. That's through Jesus. He died and he rose again for you. Shed his blood. Took that on. Humbled himself. And the Son of God humbled himself so that you could be made right before God. That's how much he loves you. That's how good he is. And scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, you'll be saved. So if you're here this morning and you need Christ, and you realize that he's speaking, you just call out to him however he leads. You just speak to him. Confess and believe. Believe that he is who he said he was, that he died on the cross and rose again for you, shed his perfect blood so that you could be made right before him, and you receive that this morning. Just call on him how he leads. But maybe you're here this morning and you're a follower of Christ. But man, you've been struggling recently because you just feel like God is distant. Maybe there's some things in your life that you need to address. I do want to acknowledge that. Maybe there's some things that God feels distant because you need to address some things. Maybe there's some things that you need to confess and you need to get right. But understand, when God feels distant, he's there. When he feels silent, he's there. He's listening. He's waiting for you with open arms saying, man, come back to me. Love you. Come back to me. I just want to be in relationship with you. Trust my purpose. Man, come back to him. Don't stay in that spot. Just trust him. Trust his plan. Trust his purpose and embrace it. Rely and lean on him. God, again, we thank you for your truth. God, I pray for each and every person here this morning. God, if whatever it is they need to hear, Father, we know that you'll speak that truth to them. God, whether it has anything to do with anything that I've said this morning, God, I pray that you would speak truth over the people here at LifePoint Church. And may they respond. And may we do everything, God, for your glory. Glorify and honor you. Trusting your purpose. Trusting your plans. Even when they don't make sense, God, may we trust you. At this time, you just do business with God as he leads. If you need prayer, would like to pray with someone, we'll have some of our leaders up front. But may you just do business with God as he leads. If you need to confess and believe and come into the family of God for the first time, man, do that. Don't push back on that. Receive him this morning. It'll be the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. But if you just need to get some things right and just acknowledge that you need to trust God more with his purpose, man, just you do business with him as he leads this morning.
This mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone, and never once did you leave us on our own. Yes, you are faithful, God, you are faithful. Yes, you are faithful, God, you are faithful. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your part in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone, and never once did you leave us on our own. Yeshua, faithful God, you are faithful. Yeshua, faithful God, you are faithful. See scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, and never once did we ever walk alone. We were carried by your constant grace and held within your perfect peace. And never once did we ever walk alone. And never once did we ever walk alone. And never once did you leave us on. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Every step is we are breathing in your grace. And forevermore, and we'll be breathing out your praise. You are faithful, God, you are. Yes, you're faithful. Yes, you are faithful, God, you are faithful. Yes, you are faithful, God, you are faithful. 2 Timothy says, when we are faithless, he remains faithful. That's who he is. Amen, church.
All right, as we continue on with our worship, with our tithes and our offerings, here at Life Point Church, there's a few different ways that you can give. You can give when the basket passes here in a second, or you can go online to our website. Top right-hand corner of the screen is an online giving feature. You can click that. It takes you to a safe, secure place where you can give. But either way, we pray that you would be faithful in your giving and giving back with what it is that God has blessed you with. And really, really be faithful in that component of your relationship with him. Also, while that's going on, again, if this is your first time out, thank you so much for being here this morning. Kyle, thank you for being here the first time out. But if this is your first time out, in the bulletin is a connection card. If you would take a quick second and fill that out with just some of your general information, you can actually exchange it at the info table in the back just for a little gift.